We were discussing the materials that require tevilat kelim. We said on if for simple kelim, things that are made of only one material, the breakdown is as follows. Metals require tevilah most probably min haTorah, at least only the six metals listed in the Torah. There's a machloket about other metals, whether aluminum and the like, things that aren't listed in the Torah but are on the periodic table under the metals. Do those also require tevilah min haTorah? Do they require tevilah min haRabbanan or not at all? That was a machloket we discussed already. Then glass min haRabbanan requires tevilah, and clay adama, earthenware things, basic pottery, bone, and other types of kelim, plastic, do not require tevilah at all. But what about when things get more complicated, more complex? When you have a keli that's made out of more than one type of material, it could have a coating, it could have different components that are made of more than one, that are made of different things. What is the status of a Teflon pot of china that's glazed with glass, of so many different things that we find in our homes that are made of more than one type of material? Let's say I have something that has a metal blade and a plastic handle. Can I just remove the blade and put that in the mikveh? Do I have to put the handle in as well? These are all important questions that have to be developed and determined in order to know what has to go to the mikveh and how. Let's begin. There are three topics we're going to discuss today. Number one is coding, number two is ma'amid, and number three is ikar and tafel. When it comes to coding, the Gemara discusses a case of kunya. Kunya means that the Gemara, at least in the end of Avodah Zarah, in our sugya, says that kunya is a case where I have an earthenware vessel, I have a piece of pottery that I basically coated with lead. And we left off saying how the Gemara concludes that we go by the outer layer. Whatever the outer layer is requires tevilah. Since the outer layer is lead, it is metal, metal requires tevilah kelim. If I have an earthenware pottery vessel that is covered in lead, that must go to the mikveh. What about in our case, though, of china? Well, let's see. This coating in the Gemara, look at it if it's inside or out or both. L'halacha, we assume that at the very least something that is coated entirely inside and out, the cooling alma, according to all opinions, will require a beracha. Whereas if it's only on the inside, is a machloket. Shulchan Aruch seems to say, it's a machloket, but Shulchan Aruch thinks that it still requires tevilah. It's a question if one would recite a beracha on it or not. And then the Shulchan Aruch says that if the coating is only on the outside, then you would not require tevilah at all. So let's say I have a piece of pottery that is only coated with metal on the outside, and no food touches the outside. It's only the inside of the kli that food touches, and that's only pottery. So the Shulchan Aruch says, I have an enamel-covered pot. Enamels on the outside, porcelain, and whatever it is, coated pot, but the metal's on the inside. So you go by the inside, because that's what touches the food. In other words, you only go by the part that touches the food primarily, and you would recite a beracha if the entire thing was covered with metal, if it was inside and out. Fine. Now, what about if it's on the outside? If it's on the outside only for Ashkenazim, is a bit of an issue. The Ramah's language is not clear. It's machloket bedat haRamah, what the Ramah says for inside only, and what the Ramah says for outside only. Some say that inside only requires tevilah with a beracha, and outside only requires tevilah without a beracha. And others say that the Ramah would say no. Inside only requires tevilah without a beracha, and outside only requires no beracha at all. So machloket bedat haRamah. We're not working on Minhag Ashkenaz right now, so we're going to leave it at that. Finally, the Ramah adds in a Sevara from one of the Rishonim that if the coating is merely decorative, if it's just for decoration, then that does not require Tevilah at all. This idea of decorative coating means the idea is that it's not functional, the coating. It's merely protective, it's merely a glaze. It's not really there to add Torat Kili, it would not be the Ikar, it would be Batel to the actual thing. Now what about China? China is a great machloket, because China essentially is pottery. It's a ceramic, but it's coated, it's glazed with glass. So the question is, does the Gemara discussed a glaze of lead? It's unclear what the Gemara would say by a glaze of glass. This is the machloket acharonim. The Peritoar thinks that anything that's glazed with anything but lead, anything but metal, is patur. So a glass glaze, the Peritoar says is patur, but everybody disagrees, the Zichet Tzedek says, with this Peritoar. Rav Yaakov Emden says that his father would go back and forth on whether or not China requires a tevilah, and therefore he recommends being machmir, but we find that the Chida and Rav Ovadia are very much in favor of not requiring tevilah at all. They say that that China is klicheres de gamrei and does not require tevilah. At the same time, the Zivchei Tzedek and the Ben Ishchai say that one should be machmir and be noheg the chumra and be matfil without a beracha all China. In Hora'a Beruraf, that Kisei Rachamim puts out, it's very interesting, they point out how Rav Moshe Halevi argued on Rav Ovadia and said that the Acharonim, such as the Chida, were discussing this, we're not discussing glazed China, they're just discussing regular China, whatever that means, and therefore there's no proof from there. So that's, the common thing is, and many say that, especially Rav Ovadia, that you don't need to be matbil your China. If you want to, fine, but don't recite a beracha. Keep in mind, the china, the glaze is so thin, it's not really that functional, and plus it's really decorative. It doesn't really function so much, or maybe it does. Rav David Cohen from the CRC thinks that it might depend on the type of china. If it's really expensive china, then the porcelain under the glass can really stand on its own, and the glaze is just additional. Whereas if it's really cheap stuff, he thinks, then there the glass is necessary to function, because the china wouldn't be able to hold together without the glass, and therefore he thinks that really cheap china would require tevilah. Okay, all in all, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Shechter, Rav Eliyahu Ben Chaim all hold that china does not require tevilah. Why Rav Moshe thinks so is not clear. He says that it's pashut, that it's not, it doesn't require tevilah. He doesn't explain. Rav Shechter says that Rav Tendler told him when he was in 9th grade that it's because of the thick, it's not so thin. But Rav Shechter says that sometimes, you know, at a wedding you see the brick to china, the Tanaim, and it's pretty thick, the glass. So that's not the only reason. It's decorative, it doesn't really function. There are more reasons to be mekel. Rav Elsky, Rav Forst, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, however, all hold that china does require tevilah, but no beracha is recited. Ravelsky says, like, if a kashrus organization is taking over a restaurant, they're going to give a hashgacha now. And it turns out that the restaurant until now was not noheg to be matbil their china. So Ravelsky says, we're not going to force them to go take all of their china to the mikveh right now. They can rely on Rav Moshe thus far, but from here on, they're going to have to start being matbil their china. It's really a combination of Rav Moshe and the fact that it's a restaurant. We'll discuss that another time. Fine. So that was part one of three of the shiur, that things that have coatings, especially if it's entirely coated, require tevilah with the bracha if the outer layer requires a coating. However, because of its thinness or because of the decorativeness or protectiveness of the coating, which is not really functional in terms of a kli, many say the china does not require tevilah at all. Part number two of the shiur is ma'amid. We find this concept of ma'amid in a number of places in Torah. Number one, by ta'arovot. When a person has a ta'arovet, a mixture, and he throws something into the mixture, if he has a pot of chicken soup and a drop of milk falls in, all you need is 60 times the amount of chicken soup in volume, then the milk, in order to be mivatel, to nullify the drop of milk. However, if the thing that fell in, the isur that fell in, is a ma'amid, it upholds the thing that it fell into, then it will never be batel. For example, rennet might be a good example of a ma'amid in cheese. If you throw non-kosher rennet into milk, In order to make cheese, even if you have 1,000 times as much milk as you do rennet, it will not be mevatel the rennet, because the rennet is mamid the milk into cheese. That's mamid by ta'arovot. We also have this idea of ma'amid, of upholding something by tum'ah and tahura. If I have a glass keli, and it gets a hole in the bottom, and I fill it with metal, there's a whole sugya in Masechet Shabbat of whether or not the new keli that was formed has the status of metal or glass. Do we follow the ma'amid, in which case it's metal, or do we follow the keli, in which case it is glass? And finally, in Hilchot Sukkah, we have this concept of ma'amid. I mean, in terms of being ma'amid eschach, with davar she'eino mekabel tumah, that's machlok ha'tanaim, this is stira and shulchan aruch, it's a whole theory, it's a whole sugya to talk about. And now we have our sugya of tevilat kelim. It's the idea of ma'amid. Do we go by the ma'amid? Is this a glass kli or is it a metal kli? Is this a plastic kli or is it a wooden kli? What is this thing? Or does it require tevilah? The Rishonim debate this at length, whether or not we should be concerned for ma'amid by tevilat kelim. It's a machloket tanaim in Shabbat. It's a machloket Rishonim if it should apply here as well. In the Beit Yosef, Maran recommends being machmir and being matbil things that have a metal ma'amid. What's the example? I'm sure everybody has played Super Smash Brothers or Super Mario Brothers, or Donkey Kong, and seen the barrels that they throw around. The barrels are made out of wooden planks that are held together by metal rings. Those wooden planks cannot possibly be held together on their own. They won't function as a kli without the metal rings around them. So the metal rings are really a ma'amid. And Shulchan Aruch says in the Beit Yosef, Maran says in the Beit Yosef that one should be machmir and be matbil without a beracha for the ma'amid. However, when we get to Shulchan Aruch, we find that it's not the case. In Shulchan Aruch, he writes unequivocally that a ma'amid is not going to change the halacha, and the Donkey Kong barrel does not require tevila, it's a wooden kli. What's going on? It's a contradiction in Shulchan Aruch. So all of the Acharonim point out that Maran was Chozerbo, he changed his mind, and therefore he was Mekel. Nevertheless, the Shach and the Ziv Chesedek recommend one be Machmir for the Ma'amid. And we find actually that there's a Machloket. What, that's only by a Ma'amid, I told you, the Donkey Kong barrels, if the Ma'amid doesn't touch the food. What if the Ma'amid does touch the food? What if I have that glass kli that I spoke about a minute ago, that was at a hole and we filled it with metal, and now you fill it up and the food is going to touch that metal, and that metal has not been to the mikveh. So the Pri Chadash and the Pri Tovar debate whether or not that kli will now require tevila, that we follow the mami there or not. It turns out that the poskim are not 100% sure if we should follow the ma'amid, so therefore we should do tevila without a beracha, some of them say. The Rama adds an additional chumrah that if the kli is held all together by nails, that is also a ma'amid, and it is going to go. We're going to follow the ma'amid in that case. I'm not sure how comfortable that was. Now it's important to realize this idea of ma'amid, the layer that can separate, but is, you know, held by a base that's essential. That essential base and it determining the status for, you know, as a ma'amid, whether we should follow that base or not, comes into play in many cases. Some people think that if I'm using a kli that wasn't taken to the mikveh, all I have to do is take a paper towel and put it in between my food and the kli. But in fact, the poskim write, or Shlomo Zalman and others write, and that is not the case. Whatever is not usually always used with this kli is not considered a hefsek. Meaning, if I don't always put a napkin on my microwave tray, let's say the microwave tray is made out of glass, if I don't always put a napkin there to be mafsik between the microwave tray and my food, then it won't be mafsik. And even if the napkin or paper towel is there, and then the glass plate will still require tevila. However, if I always have something there, such as, let's say, a Teflon pot, which is a synthetic material that is held up by a metal base, and it's always there. So in that case, we would say that the Teflon is mafsik, and you can start discussing ma'amid. If it's not mafsik, you don't even discuss ma'amid. You just assume that it's not there, and it's not a case of ma'amid. Here, by Teflon, we assume that it is a ma'amid situation, and it's not linoy, it's not decorative that the synthetic material there. It's pretty significant. So therefore, some say that you require tevila without a beracha, whereas, and that's actually what Rabbeinu Rabbi Eliyahu ben Chaim says to do. It's like he's machmir on this ma'amid. And at the same time, according to Shulchan Aruch, pure Shulchan Aruch, we don't follow the ma'amid, so it doesn't matter that there is metal underneath. You still do not require tevilat kelim. Good. That was part number two of the shiur. Ma'amid, something that holds up another thing, does not change or determine the status. It's not pivotal in determining the status of the tevila requirement of the kli. Now the final part of the shiur is ikar and tafel. That kelim are made of numerous things. You could have a metal kli with a plastic handle, or vice versa. You go by the ikar. Ikar means whatever is required for normal functioning of this kli. And tafel means things that are not required for the normal functioning of the kli. And halacha is that the tevila requirement follows the ikar. If the ikar is mechayev tevila, then even the tafel requires tevila. For example, if I have a Keurig machine, and the Keurig machine is primarily made out of plastic or rubber or whatever, but the thing is, there's one metal needle, or two metal needles, that pierce the K-cup, and they touch the food, and then one of them squirts water into the K-cup. Even though it's the size of not even a thousandth of the entire kli, because the Keurig machine cannot function without this needle, that's something that's going to require tevilat kelim. And not only will the needle require probably the entire kli. It's a whole discussion, but let's just say for now. The opposite is also true. If I have a metal pitcher that's used to pour, I have a non-metal pitcher that's used to pour, and there's a metal tip. The metal tip is not going to change the functionality of the kli so much. It might make it easier to pour, but it's not necessary for it to be able to pour. And therefore, even though the food touches that metal tip, the Rama says, putter. Because the ikar is the base of the kli, and not the metal, therefore it would not require tevila. Right? It's not critical to the pitcher's functioning to have that metal tip there. And the same is true for so many different kelim that have a metal piece here, a metal piece there. If they're not going to be critical to the kli's functioning, they won't become the ikar. That was a quick shir, a quick chabura. We covered three things. The kunya is topic of the coating, metal inside and out, the requirement for tefillah, whether there's a bracha needed or not, and the nafkamina of China. We discussed ma'amid, you know, whether or not a base that is made of metal can be mechayev, a synthetic, you know, piece of the kli that actually does the touching the food in tevila and in teflon pans is the nafkamina. And finally, ikar and tafel, we discussed how the tafel will always be nigrar achar the ikar, that whatever the tevila requirement of the ikar is will be the status requirement of the tafel, and how Keurig machines and pitchers could be examples of that as well.